chapter number 50, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 50. We'll read a few verses right here, found in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 50. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, where's the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I put away, or which of my creditors is to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in the season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning, he waketh my ear to hear as to learn." Verse number 10. The Bible says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this night. Lord, I thank you for your mercies, Lord, to renew day by day. Lord, thank you for your loving kindness, Lord. Lord, thank you there's forgiveness of sin. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd use it, Lord, to speak to some soul here. Lord, you've laid this on my heart, Lord. I pray, dear God, you'd use it. Let me be a mouthpiece for just a short moment, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm interested in verse number 10 tonight. The Bible said, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyed the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness?" That's very interesting right there. He said, who obeys the voice, but yet he walks in darkness. You see, I found in the Christian life, sometimes it's not always joy, unspeakable and full of glory. But sometimes I find it that we have to walk in darkness. I thought about all the heroes of faith that went down through Hebrews chapter number 11. I thought about old Abraham. I thought about old Isaac. I thought about old Jacob and David and Daniel and Samson and all those and Gideon and even Sarah. I thought about all of those heroes of the faith. But there was one thing that I found that was common about every one of them. And you know what it was? They all had to walk through darkness. I thought about Moses as he was going across as God called him from the burning bush and gave him the light. And Moses rose up and he slew the Egyptian. You know what he began to do? He wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. He thought he was in darkness. And then I began to think about old David when he was in the cave of Adullam. And I thought, and all those men that came to him who was in debt and in distress. And I thought about old David as Saul chased him and wanted to take his own life. You know what I thought about David? David was a man that walked in darkness. Not only did David walk in darkness, I began to think of old Job. You see, the Bible talks about darkness and it talks about it in two ways. You see, you can be in darkness because of your sin. And a lot of people are in darkness because of sin. They have not come to the knowledge and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've never been lighted by the light of salvation. You may find yourself in that darkness tonight. Let me tell you what, you don't have to be. I'm glad you can go to any man, woman, boy, child, or boy or girl and tell them you can be saved and Jesus is the way and you can have the light of life. But I began to think about old Job. The Bible said he was a perfect man and upright, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. And you know what the Bible said about old Job? It said this in Job chapter number 19 and verse number 8. It said, "He that hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and he has set darkness in my path." Job was a man that was doing everything he knew to do for God. You know the story? Brother Ken preached it 2 weeks ago. And I never had saw this. The Bible said this, "While he was yet speaking, Three times in that chapter number one did it say that. You know what that was talking about? One man came to Job and said, "Hey, guess what? Something's happened." And before he could even get that out of his mouth, Job had lost something else. And before he could even get that out of his mouth, he had lost something else. That means in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, Job lost everything he had while he was yet speaking. Job was a man that learned to walk in darkness. And I found in my Christian life that sometimes that we're going to have to walk in darkness. Not only did Job walk in darkness, I thought about old Paul. Shipwrecked, stoned, beaten, cast into prison. A lot of times he was beat down. But Paul said he may have been perplexed, but yet he was not in distress. Paul knew how to walk in darkness, but he knew that the darkness would always bring him to the light. You see, in the Christian life, we're going to walk in darkness, and I wish I could say that it was all going to be easy, and you didn't have anything to worry about. And I wish it was the bed of roses, and there was nothing that was ever going to come to your life that was ever going to try you, but I cannot tell you that tonight. I'm telling you, we have a God that works sometimes through darkness. Paul was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was in prison. Paul was martyred at the hand of Nero. And not only Paul, I thought about old Peter. Peter denied the Lord, didn't he? He told Peter, he said, "Satan hath desired that he may sift thee, that he may have thee as wheat." But he said, "But I pray for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art strengthened, convert the brethren." And when I thought about that, I thought what Peter told to Jesus. He said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both in the prison and the death." But right after that, the cock crowed on him. You know what he did? He went out and wept because he walked in darkness. And then I began to think about, and I wrote this down. I said, God will suffer things in our lives to save our lives. God will suffer things in your life so that He'll save your life. And I thought about marriage. God will suffer your marriage to save your marriage. Let me even say this. God will suffer your ministry to save your ministry. God will suffer your finances to save your finances. Because we have a God that sometimes He works through darkness so that we have the greater light when we come out of the darkness. And I began to look at this text in here found in verse number 10. And I wrote down three things, and I won't be long tonight. I wrote this down. It said, those of greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. Those of the greatest devotion may know the greatest darkness. You say, I want to serve God. Guess what? If you're going to serve God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to have to suffer for His sake. I noticed this, and this is point number one. We have dark times. Look what he said in here in verse 10. He said, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness? There's going to be some dark times. I began to think of the children of Israel down in Egypt when God had sent the 10 plagues and He sent them through Moses up to Pharaoh. And I began to think about that last plague where they would strike the doorpost on the house, and as the death angel passed over that land of Egypt that night, every firstborn of the tribe of Egypt, the children of Israel, guess what they began to think? Lord, would the lamb be enough? But you want to know what? As they heard the screams from all the Egyptians, as all their firstborn were smitten of God to death, they probably at their house had a little dark night that came up with them. There's been some dark nights in my life, and there's been dark nights in your life, and God works through darkness because there's going to be some dark times. Not only that, we live in a day where everybody thinks nothing will ever go wrong. But I'm telling you what, I found this out, that everything that can go wrong will go wrong because of dark times. Let me say this, sometimes in these dark times it does not make sense. It does not make sense. I found this verse over in the book of Psalms, and I wrote it down. It says Psalm 74:16. It says this, the day is thine, the night is also thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. God owns the day. Guess what He also owns? He owns the night. You may be walking through a dark time tonight, but let me tell you what, God owns the darkness. And that ought to incite you tonight. You that walk in, you may be here and walking in the darkest time that you ever walked through in all your life. Guess who's walking through that with you? The Lord Himself. God owns the day, but He also owns the night. Never forget that. A lot of times in my dark times and in my dark sorrow, and I didn't have an understanding, and I could not make sense. I began to read after a man, and this is what he said. He said this right here. let me find it. I can't find it. I'll get to it. Maybe it'll come up to me later. God had me to say it. We try to make sense of things that we don't have. The hardest question for a preacher or a pastor is why? Why did my child have to go through this? Why do I have to go through this? Why did my wife leave me? Why did my husband leave me? Why are my finances not there? Why is my job taken from me? I did all I could do. And the hardest question is why? Why? Why this? Why that? Let me tell you what, God sometimes wants us to forget the why and understand the who. Forget the why and understand the who. And you know what the why will always say? Why is a question for God. It's not a question for the preacher, but it's a question for God. Not only is why a question for that, you want to know the question that's back to us, and me included, is the how. How will we respond to the why? You see, a lot of times it's not all about the why, but it's how we're going to act when the why happens. Because the why will always bring us to the who. And God allows things to happen in our life, and He's got it, His providence has got it specifically set up for us. Job was walking in darkness, and the verse said, exactly, he said, He had fenced up my way that I cannot pass. You know what Job was saying when he said that? He said, I could not go around it. He said, in every direction I tried to go around that darkness, he said, I could not go over it. I could not go around it. I couldn't go under it. I couldn't even go through it. He said, God had fenced it up, and it was darkness that was brought upon me. And sometimes this thing in serving God will not make sense in dark times. Not only will it not make sense, let me tell you, in dark times there will always be some sorrow. Here in our text that we was reading about God, and He was talking about to the children of Israel, the bill of your mother's divorcement. He said, I could not divorce them. The children of Israel, He said, I could not leave them. I'll never forsake them. They're mine. I will not write them a bill of divorcement. They're mine. But you know what? Sometimes God will allow sorrow in our life so He can bring a greater joy through a sorrow. And I can tell you times in my life, one of the darkest times that I've ever had, I'll name one of them, is when my brother passed. And I walked in that hospital and I did not know what to expect. Here I was, 19 years old, my brother's a preacher, and he's working at the steel mill. And I got off work, I was working at the Piggly Wiggly, I mopped the floors. I went in at 7 o'clock in the morning, worked till 7 o'clock at night, mopped the floors, and when 10 o'clock is normally when we walked out of that place. For 15 hours we'd work. I remember that night as if it was yesterday. The police, we was fixing a lot. We'd already called the owner of the store because he'd come down there and lock it up. And I saw the police car pull in behind my car. And I said, he's going to arrest me when I walk out of here. And I didn't even know why. But he pulled right behind my car and he was looking it over. As I began to walk out the door, that police officer swooped down, picked me up right there at the front door. He said, you got to go to the hospital. I walked in the hospital. I got the darkest news that I'd ever had in my life. They said, when the doctor comes out and says, they've done all they can do, and he's gone. The darkest time. But let me tell you this. As April the 6th, 1998, I remember my brother's preaching. I remember the Tuesday nights that he'd get up and preach over a pool table and said, boys, if you're going to shoot pool out here in this building, guess what? You're going to hear some preaching. And if you're going to cuss, you're going to have to pay me a dollar. And if you want to smoke, you're going to have to pay me another dollar. And I said, I'm going to take those dollar bills and I'm going to put them in the offering plate down there at the church. And he did that week after week. And I remember that preaching. April the 6th, 1998, one of the darkest times of my life. April the 8th, 1998, in the front row of Faith Baptist Church, the preacher gave an altar call in the middle of the service. and said, I never had been in a funeral where they gave an altar call, and I knew I needed the Lord. I remember the man at Walmart asking me that question, if you were to die right now, where would you go? And he was talking to my friend. Everybody thought I was saved already because my brother was a preacher. You know, if preacher's in your family, everybody else in your family's got to be saved, but I wasn't saved. And the Holy Ghost was talking to me. And for a month, April 8th, April 6th, the darkest time that ever happened in my life. April 8th, 1998, got saved. And God, in dark times, there's always something that comes out. And sometimes I can't explain the sorrow that you're going to have to walk through in dark times. But I can tell you this, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And God works in our dark times and when it don't make sense. And there's also going to involve some sorrow. Not only that, it'll involve some solitude. It may mean that you're alone. When you're in the darkest time of your life, I've noticed this. You always think you're by yourself. But I'm glad the Bible said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. And I'm glad He told David in Psalm 27, when my father and my mother have forsaken me, then the Lord will take me up. There may be somebody in here tonight that thinks that God has forgot about you. But I'm going to tell you, as God remembered Noah, He still remembers you. And I'm glad He still remembers me. And I'm glad the Lord will take me up when nobody else will ever want me. I'm not here alone tonight because I have the Lord with me. God will work in your sorrow. He'll work when you're in your solitude. He'll work when you're all alone. I began to think about what old Elijah did. I wrote this down. I said, we're so much waiting to hear from God and all the noise of the world. But most of the time it's in our silent times that we hear from God. And I began to think about old Elijah over in 1 Kings chapter number 19. We find him where old Jezebel and Ahab had done brought up all they knew against him. And old Elijah, you find him up underneath the juniper tree. And he wishing that the Lord would even take his life. He was there in a dark time. He was in a time of depression. He was a time where he didn't know where God was. He didn't even know if he was even a preacher at the time. And God, he was a God-called man, a man that had called fire down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering, and then seen all the power of God that most of us will ever experience in all our life he'd seen. But he walked through a dark time. He said this, talking about God speaking in silence. He said this in 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great and a strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. In our darkest times, I'm glad there's still a still, small voice. I've noticed in my darkest times, that's when God is growing us the most. The title of my lesson tonight is Developed in the Dark. I've noticed the times that I grow as a Christian is in these dark times. I've noticed that I don't grow too much in the light. I enjoy the light. I enjoy being on the mountaintop. I enjoy shouting and praising God. But I'm going to tell you what, when I grow, it's through these dark times. And a lot of times that development of that growth comes in the night. I asked my daddy one time, I said, Daddy, all this sun shining out on this grass, how come it grows? He said, oh, it don't grow much during the day. He said, when it gets cool at night, and that dew comes up on that grass, in the darkness of the night, that grass will begin to grow. And I'm telling you, in your Christian life, a lot of times you'll grow in the dark. We're being developed in the dark. Not only do you see it's dark times, I want to say this, it's developing times. I began to read, and I'm fixing to find out about a lot of y'all's age in the building by what I say here. I was reading about film developing and how film was developed. These teenagers wouldn't know what I'm talking about. They don't know what it's to have one of those point-and-click cameras where you have to take it and roll it forward to the next piece. There was one thing about that film that you could not do. You know what it was to do? When you took that film and you bought it and you put it in that camera and you rolled it forward and you took that picture and you took all 24 exposure, the 36 exposure, or whatever you had, guess what you could not do? You could not get it in the light. You know why? Because if you got in the light, it would mess every picture up on that roll. It'd make all these spots and all these light places. And I began to read about the dark room that these photographers would make. And they said there was one thing about the dark room, talking about developing black and white pictures, that you could not do. He said you could not get it in green light or blue light. But there was one light that you could get it in. You know what that light was? It was a red light. And that red light, you could shine it on those pictures. And that red light, you know what? That red light would allow that photographer to see the imperfections, or see, make sure that film was being developed the way the master or the guy that was portraying it wanted it to be. I'm glad it was red. So I'm here tonight to say there was another man named Jesus that had something red. And although you're in the dark, there's some blood of Jesus that'll bring you into the light. And I'm glad April 8, 1998, when I was in the front row, I got washed in the blood. And in my darkest times, I found the light. Not only there was a dark time, it's a developing time. I want to say this in the developing time. Look what he said in verse number 10. He said this. He said two things. He said, in the last part of that verse, he said, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. I want to say this. When you're walking through dark times and you begin to be developed, you know what you're going to need to do? You're going to need to lean on the Savior. Look what he said do. He said, and stay upon his God. You know what that word stay means? It means to lean upon. It's a word that David used in Psalm 23 in verse number 4. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That was something that you could lean upon. He says, stay upon his God. You know what you're going to have to do when you walk through dark and difficult times? You're going to have to learn to trust in the Lord. The book of Proverbs said this in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We're going to have to learn to trust in the Lord. You see, one of the hardest things you'll ever do is to wait upon God. I began to look at something, and I read a quote by Charles Spurgeon about waiting. This is what he said. He said, if the Lord Jehovah make us wait, let us do so with our whole hearts. For blessed are all they that wait for him. He is worth waiting for. The waiting itself is beneficial to us. It tries faith. It exercises patience, trains submission, and endears the blessing when it comes. The Lord's people have always been a waiting people. The hardest thing you'll ever do in your Christian life in a dark place is to wait on the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, it's all you can do. Trust in the Lord. Not only do you have to lean on the Savior, I want to say this, you need to look to the Scriptures. You say, where do you turn in your Bible when you're going through a dark time? You know what I turn to? I always go to Psalm 911. Turn there tonight. Psalm 911, 91:1. It's one of my favorite passages that's in the Bible. Psalm 91 and verse number 1. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Here it is, verse number 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under thy wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I'm glad we don't walk through things alone. I'm glad when God is developing us, he's always there to help us. And let me say this, just because you don't feel him doesn't mean he's not there. You see, a lot of people are operating off feelings. I'm glad I'm operating off faith, because there's been times in my life that I hadn't felt God. I didn't know if, I didn't want to read my Bible. I didn't want to pray. But let me tell you what, he was still there. I'm glad the Bible said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm glad when I'm in trouble, he said, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And we have to look to the Scriptures. Turn back to our text. Not only do you have to lean on the Savior, look to the Scriptures. I want to say this, you have to leave yourself. Look down in Isaiah 50 in verse number 11. It's very interesting what he said. He says this in verse number 11. He said, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have in mine hand. Look what he said. This is what you're going to do if you walk in the light of your own fire. He said, you shall lie down in sorrow. I want to say this. You have to leave yourself. What are you saying by that? You can't light your own fire. You see, a lot of times when we're in the dark, we want to make our own light. We want to make our own man-made light. We don't want the light of the Savior. We're going to try to dig ourselves up out of trouble. We're going to try to walk in the light that we've made instead of the light that He's given us. Let me say this with God. A lot of times we have to do it this way. The faith that is born in the light is often developed in the dark. The faith that is born in the light is often developed in the dark. We have to learn to trust in Him. We have to learn to lean on Him. But there's one thing you're going to have to do. You're going to have to leave yourself. Paul said this in Philippians chapter number 3. He said, everything I counted gain to myself, I counted loss for Christ. Paul was a man, the Bible said he was circumcised the 8th day. He was a Pharisee of Pharisee. He knew the law from letter to letter. He knew everything about it. But he said everything that was, it was nothing compared to what Jesus was. He said, I walked through some dark times and I figured out that Jesus would walk right beside me if I'd let Him. Developed in the dark. We see this dark times, developing times. But lastly, I want to say this. It's displaying times. I began to think about a couple things. We're God's display. When you're walking through dark times, guess what? People are still watching. Your kids are watching you when you're walking through a dark time. Your family's watching you. Down there on your job, guess what they're doing? They're watching you. They're watching to see if you're going to be a Christian in a dark time. And where you're being developed and God's pulling on you in ways that you don't know anything about and you can't make sense of it, there's still people looking on you and watching you. And God's displaying you. You know why He's displaying you? Because you're His product. The book of Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 10 says, for we are His workmanship. You know what He's doing? He's made us. And you know what He's trying to make us do? He's trying to make us into Christ. That we may grow up into Him in all things. We're His product. Not only that, we're His presentation. I began to think about it one time. I remember being in Pigeon Forge. And I remember going to those outlet malls up at Pigeon Forge. And my wife likes to go in that Coach pocketbook store. Some of y'all probably been in there before. Anyway, I was in there watching, and they got a place up front where you can sit down. And I said, glory to God, I'll sit here. And as I sat there at the front, I began to watch. And I began to watch people as they go through those pocketbooks. And they'd have them here in this cubbyhole and right here in this cubbyhole. And they'd have a wall over here and a wall over there. And all around, they had these little pocketbooks. And they had the ones you wear on your shoulder. They had all kinds of pocketbooks. But I did notice one thing. They had a presentation. I began to look at those lights in the ceiling and how they'd point down. And they'd hit right on those purses. And then they'd have another light and it would be pointed right over those little bitty purses. And they began to make them sparkle. They had these jewels on the front of them, make them sparkle. You know why? They wanted to have a good presentation. Draw them women in. Get that money. Amen? They want all that money. That's right. And I began to think about that, and I began to think about the jewelry store. As you walk in those jewelry stores and how they position those lights right over those counters so that those diamonds and those jewels will sparkle the way that light hits on them. I wonder how we would sparkle at night when God took that darkness off of us and let that light hit us. Would we sparkle like those jewels? I'm glad God, the Bible says, God has set the members that they've pleased Him. And I began to think about a church and the body of Christ and how God has set the members. And there's been people that's walked through darkness and they didn't even know while they was walking through darkness, God was displaying them. And you know what they was doing? Even in their darkness, they was shining light on some other soul. And they was walking through it and they didn't even know that their darkness, that they were still shining light on somebody else and was helping them. Displaying times. I wrote this down. Calvary was dark, but it also brought resurrection. Then I wrote this. Some man had said it. He said, the darker the night, the brighter the stars, the deeper the grave, the closer is God. I began to think about Psalm chapter number 30. And I wrote this down. If your sun is set, it will rise again. Look what he said in verse number 4 in our text in Isaiah 50 and verse number 4. It said this. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And here it is. He wakeneth morning by morning. In the verse before that, he was talking about the darkness again. He said, I closed the heaven with blackness. But he said, in the next verse, it would be morning by morning. If the sun has set, it will rise again. Turn in your Bible to the book of Psalm chapter number 30. This will be the last place I turn tonight. Psalm chapter number 30. The Bible says, I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. O Lord, Thou hast brought me up my soul from the grave, that it may, has kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but for a moment. In His favor is life. And here it is. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Somebody in here may be in the darkest time of their life. Guess what? The sun's going to rise. Just wait on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I remember a story about trusting in the Lord. It was in D.L. Moody. There was a young man that was there, and he's having an evangelistical move, and the power of God had failed, and the young man had got saved, and they had a meeting broke out, and they had a testimony meeting. And the young man that just got saved, he wanted to get up and testify, but he didn't have eloquent speech. He didn't know what to say. He didn't have no rehearsed sayings. All he knew is he knew God. And he got up and began to testify. And he said all he knew what to say. And he was about to sit down, and he said this right here. He said, I don't care what he does. He said, I will trust him and obey him. He didn't know that there was somebody in there that was listening to was all the words that he said. There was a young man in that meeting by the name of D.B. Towner, Daniel Towner. And you know what he did? He took that man's words. He said, I'll trust him and I'll obey him. And he began to pen down the words on page 157 in the Redback Hymnal, trust and obey. You know what? Sometimes when you're walking through dark times, I can't tell you what you're going to have to do, but I'll tell you this, you can trust in him. And you can lean on Him. And you're going to have to look to the Scriptures. You're going to have to get the Word for you. And even though you're walking through the darkness, don't mean just because you can't see the light, don't mean that the light ain't shining. Brother Mike.